Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, it's a fun word to say, I can tell you that. I love saying it. What does it mean? Well, Google it and you'll get a very nice definition, very logistical definition. But you know what? Synergy is what we create when we come together. When people come together, our energy is powerful. Well, in principle, it means the total is more than the sum. When we add to each other, yeah, we become more. But you know what? Synergy is about multiplying each other, not just adding to each other. No, you know what? It's actually empowering people. I don't know how much you like math, but let's think about it in terms of genuine power. Let's say we could quantify people with numbers. Okay, so one person is 3, one person is 6, one person is 8. You add them all up, that's 18. But 3 plus 6 is 9, but you multiply it by 8, don't just add 8, and that makes 72. That's more than 18. Okay, but 3 times 6 times 8, that's 144. Well, so let's add someone who's a 2, but you know what? Let's make it to the second power. What's 144 to the second power? Yeah, squared. That's 20,736. Do you understand what power is? Yeah, that's a force to be reckoned with when we come together. Ask yourself, who do you believe that you are responsible to? In the way that you wield your power. How often do you think about the power that you have over other people in the world to make things happen? When you make choices, when you make decisions, there are going to be consequences. Yeah, there's going to be effects on other people. There are either positive or negative effects. Do you believe that you're accountable? Not just responsible, but accountable to the people in your life for the decisions that you make. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. There is no neutral energy. You are either positive or you're negative. So when you think about the potential power, just even as a 2, right? When you multiply something by itself, you augment the power you. Yeah, okay, you got to figure out if it's a good or a bad thing. Exponentially making something worse? Okay, do you care about that? I'll be honest with you again, you know, I had the sort of a survey project for my radio show last week. I was asking people just an opinion question because I had sort of a little debate with my son. I was talking about the effects that we have on people and the attitude, the energy that we have. Indifference, well, I don't care. That's negative energy. Do you feel like you care, you truly care about your negative energy when it's in the absence of positive? You don't have to be harmful or hurtful to someone to prevent them from being good and happy. Okay, so I actually asked a survey question to the people in Everett, Washington. Okay, I live in Marysville currently, but I went to Everett and I talked to a bunch of people on the street, in stores, at bus stops, and I asked them a question. Would you be able to trust a person that you don't respect? Okay. How about, and you know what, let's reverse it. Could you respect a person you don't trust? How important is the good energy that comes from trusting someone? That's a good energy. That's a safety. That's a security. That's an appreciation. Can you respect a person if you don't trust them? Well, some people said, yeah, of course. The two have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Respect is how you behave. Trust is how you feel. Then there were other people who said, no, if I don't trust you, there's no way I can respect you because I give you trust. And if I don't have that trust in you, that trust for you, that means you've done something to take it away. You've actually done something harmful to me. If you've done something harmful, then I can't respect you. And I thought, wait a minute now, we've got different people who prioritize different things. They have good energy, they have bad energy, they connect with people in different ways for different reasons, right? In different styles. And so I actually decided to have some conversations with people. Okay, I had some very interesting conversations. Bottom line, I said to people, do you want to know what the people around you are thinking and feeling and saying and doing about this question? Or do you just want to give me your initial response? I can mark it down on this little check page, right? Board that I have, a clipboard that I was carrying around with me. Some of them said, yeah, I really do want to talk about what this means to me personally, because I know that when I don't trust someone, I have negative energy. I'm actually harming people when I'm suspicious. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask as many people as I can in a week. And it actually started last week. So I've asked now a total of 823 people that question. Can you respect a person that you do not trust? 581 people actually said yes. I said, how can you respect a person that you don't trust? And their response, their general response was, because respect is how you behave. You give people that you don't even know respect as an act of decency, but trust is something you build up. You don't trust people that you don't know. You have to establish that relationship with them. You have to cultivate that relationship. You have to maintain that. Yeah, trust is something that takes time. Respect is an act of decency that everyone deserves. I think probably one of my favorite answers was a man who said, he was from Central America. He said, I would even respect the devil because he's doing a very hard work and is doing a very good job at it. He said, I would never trust him. And I thought, okay. But another really great answer I had was in a retail store in the mall. And, I said, can you respect a person that you don't trust? And he almost looked confused at the question. He said, of course, I'm in retail sales. And I said, okay, touche, duly noted, yes. Don't trust anybody, but you have to show everyone respect. Okay, you know what? Again, for me, respect is about appreciation and honor and admiration. It's like, wow, I'm impressed by you. I have so much respect for you because of the good work that you do, the high quality work that you do. Okay, you know what? We're going to take a quick break here. I want everybody that's listening, who I spoke to in the last week, who might be listening in, I do want to open up the lines, but I'm going to take a real quick break, do a refresher on my LinkedIn page, because I have about 18,000 followers who might want to go ahead and contribute to this conversation today. So if you do want to call in when we come back, the number to the station is 888-627-6008, or you can email me at thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Yeah, that's a way you can send me a message of a question, even if you don't want to call into the station. Okay, so we'll be right back. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so we're back. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, today we're talking about whether we can trust people, whether we can respect people. Well, our power. Are we accountable for what we do? Who are we accountable to? Let's just go ahead and make it a general concept. Positive energy, conquering negative energy. If you have the power to influence people in an exponential way, how important is it to be positive in your energy? Yeah, positive in your power, knowing that you can help people in a good way if you have things like trust and respect, but more importantly, not harming them, not treating them in a negative way. Okay, so let's go ahead and just put some general principles out there. Okay, I always say the four I's that are very dangerous, and we can put this as a survey question too, the four I's: ignorance, indifference, impotence, and incompetence. Okay, now ask yourself, what of those four things do you think is the most dangerous? Okay, ignorance, well, what is that? It's just not knowing something. Indifference, that's not caring about something. Impotence is not having the strength to do something. And incompetence is not having the skill to do something. Okay, so those are all, bad things for different reasons in different ways. But ask yourself, what do you believe is the most harmful to the people around you enough for you to make sure that you weren't being that way, that you weren't doing those kinds of things, that you weren't behaving in an ignorant way, and you weren't being indifferent, and you didn't feel impotent, and you didn't behave in an incompetent way? I actually posted a discussion on LinkedIn last week about the words dysfunctional and toxic. Now, those are some pretty fun buzzwords, right? We got to have a good time with saying things that make us sound educated and confident and, yeah, healthy. If we understand what dysfunctional is, that means we're not dysfunctional, right? Because if we're talking the good lingo, then we know how to be the smart people. And you know what? Dysfunctional just means you can't do it right. But toxic, that means poisonous. Are people actually bad? Are people actually harming people on purpose because they genuinely want to do damage to people? Okay, so then I posed another question. Are people good or bad? Are they inherently good or bad? Can you discern that? Can we discern that? Can we literally read people's minds? Can we feel their heart enough to understand and determine their motives and their intentions? That's their thoughts and their feelings. That's what their soul is about. They may be doing something. That's their behavior. That's dysfunctional behavior. That just means it's not being successful. It's not being productive. Okay, their dysfunctional behavior. But again, what's the source of that? We like to look at the cause and the effect, but what's the source of the cause? You got to start peeling away the layers. Yeah, that takes time. Do you believe that people are worth your time? Are they worth your energy and your attention? If I said to you, look, this person, they might be behaving in a very bad way, in a very dysfunctional way, but are they a toxic soul? Their heart and their mind, their motives and their intentions. Do they genuinely want to hurt you and proactively do damage to you? You know what? I'm one of those people who I trust people until they give me a reason not to. And even when they do give me a reason not to, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, I might not respect them because for me, again, the answer to that question is respect is admiration and I'm impressed by you, and I feel like you're very, very valuable in my life to the point where I'm going to give you extra dignity and consideration more than the average person. I can behave in a respectful way towards everybody. And that's especially if I trust you in the very beginning. I'm going to trust that your intentions are good, that your motives are good. You might be failing miserably, either because you're ignorant, you might be impotent, you might be incompetent. That just means you need to learn stuff. To me, the worst thing you can be is indifferent. That means you genuinely don't care. You know that you don't know and you don't care. You are powerless to make the situation better. You could be more powerful if you wanted to, but you don't care enough to become more powerful. Or you're incompetent. You genuinely aren't qualified to do something well. You could learn how to do it better. But if you're indifferent, you don't want to learn how to do it better. Okay, so when I went to a homeless shelter in Phoenix several years ago, I actually saw the people that lived there and I saw the people that worked there. I couldn't believe how horrible the people that worked there were. They were exponentially worse. Yes, exponentially, powerfully worse, damaging, proactively, harmfully damaging the people that lived there who were going there for help. And I said, wait a minute, you know what? I think the fact that the people who work here hate the people who live here, they're actually doing damage because they are proactively preventing the people that live here from getting out. They know that they have the resources and abilities and advantages to afford the people in this bad temporary situation the opportunity to improve their situation. They are proactively doing things to undermine the progress of the people that live here. Yes, the people that live here, a lot of them are on drugs. Some of them are alcoholics. Some of them, they're mentally ill. But then you know what? They shouldn't be here in the first place. They need to be in a better place than this. People need to care. They genuinely need to care about the people that live here and trust that they're good people on some level and give them respect, the dignity that is a consideration of good treatment. Just be nice. Can we please just be nice to the people? And I'll tell you one thing that just shocked a good half of the people that lived and worked there at the time. I lost my cellular phone. Now, the way we had to sleep was on the ground in, it was kind of like a building, a business office building. So it was very hard floor. You get a very, very thin little mattress, kind of like a yoga mat to sleep on, and a sheet. Okay, yeah, you can get a real cheap blanket too. But I said, one morning I woke up, I said, you know, I can't find my phone. And you know what? The security guards, the jerks that they were, they started laughing at me. I said, has anybody seen my phone? They were laughing at me and said, you are an idiot. Your phone is gone. You know the crap that lives here? I said, okay, first of all, they're not crap. They're people. And second, I trust the people that live here more than I trust you because they treat me with more respect and more consideration than you. Okay. So I'm just going to ask around. Yeah, a couple of the residents there laughed at me too and said, honey, your phone is gone. Okay, if you can't find it, it's gone. I said, no, there's a lost and found. You know how many people laughed at me when I asked where the lost and found was? I said, no, I'm gonna go ahead and wait for someone to turn it in. And they said, just get it, your insurance and replace your phone. I said, it's okay. I don't need my phone. A phone is nice, but I can do stuff that I need to do otherwise on my phone, on the computer, because there's a library down the street. Well, you know what? A lot of the people, they had different reactions to the fact that I said, no, I'm going to keep asking around and see if someone has turned it in or has found it, has seen it. Well, by the time I said, yeah, it's okay, it's been a few days, I'm going to go ahead and put in the request to have a replacement phone with the company, my service provider. And yeah, they said, well, I got to say, I admire your confidence and your trust and your positive attitude, but yeah, you've done well without a phone. Let me just say that. Yeah, you've done very well without a phone because most people would burst into flames and die without a phone. Okay. So as I was getting my mail and I said, hey, yeah, I want to go ahead and get one of those requests to get a new phone. He goes, hey, I got good news. Someone turned in your phone today. And he was so excited. He almost started crying. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I love it. I love that you're as happy as I am because I trust people. I like to trust people because that positive energy makes people's souls better. It makes people's lives better. And I would never regret giving people the benefit of the doubt. Even if they are bad people, okay. Okay. So if they're bad people, now we can talk about what to do if people genuinely are bad. And again, it gets back down to giving people the benefit of the doubt. The determining factor, the only real question is, do they proactively do things on purpose to hurt people? Or are they just doing harmful things to themselves and others because they genuinely don't know better. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have some fun here. Let's think about this in terms of, yeah, just the 411. Do people have a way? Is there a way to determine, there we go, if people have good or bad? Okay, it looks like I got a little chatting as a guest ready for break. Okay, so I'll be coming up for a break in about 5 minutes. Before we go to break, I want to ask you all to think about something that, you know, when it comes to human behavior, there are different levels of function. Think about it this way. There are some things that people do, like breathing. It's their dominant function. There are some things they do, like eating. Yeah, it's an auxiliary function. Some things are like walking. Okay, it's a tertiary level function. And some things are like running. It's an inferior function. That's tough. Everybody does everything. But when you think about it in terms of how hard is it for that person to do, how easy is it for that person to do? If it's something hard for them to do, then when they have to do it, they might not do it in a very good way. They might not do it in a very healthy way. They might not do it in a very pleasant way. Take the time to look at the person as an individual, then look at the behavior that they're displaying, the activity that they're performing, and say, you know what? Maybe they're suffocating as they do this. If they were allowed to do an activity that's more natural for their nature, their personality, they wouldn't be so horrible at it. And maybe they wouldn't be so miserable at it. And maybe, lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, if you said, hey, I know you're having a really hard time to that person, and I appreciate the effort that you're putting into this. And if you need my help and support, I'll absolutely give it to you. How different do you think people would be? How different do you think they would be acting for you, to you, with you, if you said, hey, you know what? My good energy is going to make your energy more powerful. Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and take another quick break. If you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. You're welcome to ask any questions or even provide any comments, because again, I put this information out to pretty much the entire city of Everett and about 18,000 people on LinkedIn. So we'll be right back. This is the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Okay, so today we're talking about energy, the quality of our energy when it comes to respect and trust, getting to be high quality souls when we're with other people, bringing out the high quality that is them naturally. Let's get back to naturally. What is the best for them? What is the best then for everyone around them? Because high quality, I love to say high quality means you don't have to wield a large quantity. If you are getting 2 ounces of gold, that's worth more than 2 tons of fertilizer. Yes, fertilizer is a good thing, but we don't have the ability to produce everything in high quantity all the time. So if you say to a person, look, I've got some really good stuff for you. It's going to make your soul better. Yeah. They'll settle for just a few ounces of it because then they are going to carry that with them and it will spread to everyone and everything that they do after they're with you. Okay. Now, some people, I'm going to go back to ballet just because I love it. Okay. You can balance things in life. My ballet teacher never said when we're falling over, you need to find your balance, get rebalanced. She always said, recentered. Okay. She said, go get centered. She would literally send us away from the group and say, you need to get centered. You come back to the rest of the group when you have found out where your core is and you've got yourself very, very stable around the core of your weight. Yeah, girls, they got some weight issues, don't they? And as your body is growing, your weight literally shifts every day. Your body is changing. Where is your center? Where is your weight distribution? How about the force of gravity that's pulling you in different directions? Is it okay? Some people use it as an example of put the mask on yourself first. Is it okay to step away and say, look, I got to take care of me? Yeah. Okay, a lot of people like to say, put the mask on yourself first, but only if that's going to be of you getting recentered to a high quality state. Some people just like to say, I'm going to be selfish right now and I'm going to give me what I want. And then, yeah, if I feel like bringing you back in, I'll go ahead and do that. No, you actually need to make sure that you are high quality, taking care of yourself in a good way. For other people, ultimately, because there's more joy in giving than in receiving. We all know inherently, fundamentally, that is how we're built. We do want to give to people and we want to give high quality to people because that does fulfill us and it does satisfy us. I gave a presentation earlier this week, a couple days ago, and to a group, and I said one of the best things you can do to figure out how to get yourself recentered, to get yourself high quality, is something that I like to call stream of consciousness. Well, my husband, thinking out loud in my general direction. Sometimes I literally have to say to him, honey, are you talking to me? Or are you just thinking out loud in my general direction? It's a stream of consciousness. It's where he literally is thinking. He's saying everything that he's thinking. So got the, but I don't know about that. Because if we use the strainer with the noodles and that would get, then we'd have to wash the strainer. And that sink is so gross right now because we didn't have any bleach. And when was the last time we even went to the store to get bleach? When Nick goes to the store to get bleach and he goes to the Dollar Tree instead of the store because, you know, because he thinks because he's working that he doesn't even have to do that because he thinks that he's working on this. Oh my God. He doesn't really want to work here. He needs to get a different. What the? What? He started out with a colander to strain the noodles for the spaghetti sauce that I made. Stream of consciousness is you pulling out all the stops and all the inhibitions and letting you unload on you. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Because then your brain and your body are going to tell you, this is the actual problem. Do you want to know the problem? Yeah, if you want to solve the problem in order to become high quality, in order to be healthy and happy and positive energy for the people around you, it's absolutely worth it. Make sure when you're doing things for yourself, with yourself, to yourself, by yourself, that it's with the ultimate focus and goal of being very high quality. Do you believe that you would be high quality? Okay, you know what? Let's have some more fun again. Quantify. Let's quantify our value. This is what I love to do. Again, one of my little secrets, something I'm going to share with everybody again. Stretching. I always say that stretching is absolutely vital for me. I even asked my daughter the other day, I said, how much do you think stretching is important to me? And she said, oh my God, it's like oxygen for you. I said, good, because you've always known that. She said, absolutely. You have to do it at least once, if not twice a day. I said, okay, so you noticed that and you're okay with that. She said, yeah, because you're like a completely different person when you're done. Even if it's only 1 hour a day, let's think about this. She's 24. I've been married 30 years. And I told my husband from the very beginning when I got pregnant, I got to stretch. Just 1 hour a day. Do you know in 30 years, that's 10,950 hours? Okay, so let's just say a minimum wage job. If you worked at a minimum wage job for almost 11,000 hours, say $10 to $15, depending on a few variables of the year. We're talking about the location. Let's just say if you were to do something for 1 hour daily for 30 years, that would be about $125,000 worth of time. What do you value that much? When I tell people my age, they don't believe it because I don't look or act or feel 48. I usually get people guessing when I say, "How old do you think I am?" They say between 30 and 35. How is that? Because when I stretch for 1 hour daily, I get recentered. I get my circulation, my blood flow going very well. When I breathe, there's two different parts of breathing. There's inhaling and there's exhaling. Inhaling stimulates the sympathetic nervous system. That's our nervous system. That's our fight or flight. That's our adrenaline and cortisol. Our parasympathetic nervous system is the dopamine and serotonin and endorphins and oxytocin. When we exhale slowly, we're getting our whole body calm and relaxed, but we're also thinking, we're giving ourselves the chance to maybe stream of consciousness and say, "What's going on?" But when I'm stretching in different positions, obviously, if my husband is in the room, I'm having some fun watching him watch me. But if he's not in the room, I understand that my blood flow is going to put the blood in the part of my body that needs it the most. My brain and my heart are going to say, "Okay, you're having some back problems. You know what? Your legs are a little tense. Stretch in this way." And I listen to my body and I respond. If you give yourself the permission to take the time to give yourself good quality, genuine care, the people around you, they're going to see that you are exponentially higher quality. Sometimes I say I have three different stretch routines. One is relaxation. One is circulation. One is stretching, actual flexibility. So if I can say to my kids or my husband, "Look, I got to get some circulation going," or, "I got to get some relaxation," they immediately know what that means because guess what? People are good and they really do want you to be good too. And so when you tell them what you need, when you need it, how and why and where you need it, most people are very game. They are absolutely willing to give you whatever you need, whenever you need it. Yeah, that's a really good thing to know. What do you do to take good quality care of you? Ask yourself that. And do you believe that when you are done taking care of you, it's going to be worth it for everyone else around you? You're not just putting the mask on yourself to tell everybody else that you're more important than they are. You're giving yourself the oxygen of life. Again, we're going to go ahead and take a real quick break. If you want to call in to the station, the number is 888-627-6008. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm Gabrielle Cardona, a relationship coach. My son calls me a shrink in denial. But you know what? I think the mental health industry in this country really hurts people because it doesn't teach them how to be healthy or happy. It labels them as bad things. So I want to give the listeners and viewers of my different activities an update on why I'm taking the time to help homeless people in Phoenix. And the campaign that I have, Yeah, I do believe that the people who are living in shelters in Phoenix, they're treated very poorly, very, very unethically. Yeah, they're abused by the people who are supposed to be helping them. As a relationship coach, I started out as a life coach, but I realized that most people who came to me for solutions in their life, they wanted a better job. They wanted, to lose weight, right? They wanted better health. Sometimes they did just want to learn how to be with people. They wanted to improve their social skills. Some people just they wanted to get rid of the people in their life, okay? And they didn't know how to do it. And I said, okay, let's go ahead and figure out who you are and what your strengths and talents and gifts and abilities are. And then people said, wow, you're so good at this, but you can't be a life coach. That's too general. Find your niche, right? Your specialty. And I said, well, you know what? Most people, even if they come to me for help with a career, yeah, I've helped people get a better job. That's the first client that I ever did. That I ever had. I did that for him. Some people I helped them manage their money. Some people I helped them just start all over again. They were retired and said, I got to figure out which way is north on a compass. And but it really did come back to getting together with people, knowing how to be with people. So when I couldn't get to a hotel one night on my trip down to Phoenix and I saw the homeless shelter, I said, wait a minute. The people here are being tortured by the people who work here who claim to help them. Even the security guards were worse than the staff. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and help them out. I'm going to give them some coaching. Yeah, I'm going to give them free coaching. Look, I charge $150 to $250 an hour, depending on what you want me to do for you. I can charge you $300 for a personality profile. You know what? These people had literally nothing. They were the ones who needed me the most. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys some coaching. I have coaching groups, I have classes. Anybody who wants to help me help the homeless community, I reached out into the community and they said, you are an idiot. That is human waste. You are wasting your time on human waste. And I said, you know what? I think you might be surprised. Some of these people who live here, they're just in a really hard way. They're in a really tough situation. And the people who are supposed to be helping them are undermining them. And you'll see that as soon as they get some good, solid, concrete information that they can put to practical use, they will make their lives better. I ended up getting people who lived there, residents of these shelters, who said, wait a minute, you know what? We deserve to be treated better than this. And we have rights as humans, human basic decency rights, right? Well, then I did some research, and apparently, in the state of Arizona, if it's a shelter, it's a charity, so they have a right to torture people. They can break the law. Yeah, and they can endanger their lives. I said, what are you talking about? And people said, why do you care? Your husband and children are back home, and you're a coach, and you make $100 million a year, and you're famous. I said, because it's wrong. And I genuinely do care about these people, and I like them. Some of them are really great people. And I said to the people that live there, look, we got to figure out a way because you know the law. You've watched Law and Order, right? All you got to do is manipulate all the holes and take advantage of all the weak links in the system. And so I got two things that we could do. First of all, yes, we cannot do the health and safety policies and procedures because, again, as a charity, they don't have to abide by those standards. But we have disorderly conduct. Here we go. ARS 13-2904, Article A3. The people who work here as individuals, if they do things that are overtly provocational, right, to the residents that live here, that's disorderly conduct. We can't get the establishment, but we can get the individuals working in it and tell them, if you don't stop treating me like trash, you're going to lose your job. It's a misdemeanor. You could even go to jail. Stop treating me like trash. Okay, so I got a few people there and they were like, yeah, let's do it. You're actually going to advocate for us. I said, absolutely. And I'm going to reach out to the community and find people who are willing to work with me to do this. They said, wow, you know what? No one's ever loved us that much. No one's ever cared about us that much. And I said, and you know what? I'm going to find more people who care about you too, because I believe that you guys are good people. And then I thought, you know what? Now we got to get to these security guards. Do you know these jerks, these security guards? They are the ones who are provocational the most. They will actually go to the employees of these establishments and say lies about the residents. And I said, okay, so we got to get something here. So of course, loving that I love to read, okay, dereliction of duty, that's what we can do, because as dereliction of duty, they are neglecting their responsibility to keep the people that live there safe. So if the people that work there are being provocational and they're neglecting the needs of the people that live there, the security guards are contributing to the disorderly conduct, and the employees are exacerbating the dereliction of duty. Ooh, we got it. We got it. I got two more people last week. So I'm going back down to Phoenix. I'm giving a presentation at the library, yes, for free, for the residents who want life coaching and they can't afford it. I'm giving them a free seminar. So I'm reaching out now to my listeners and to my connections on LinkedIn. If you would be willing to help me produce the books, they're about $6 each to print and to bind. I've got some good deals at different stores, but yeah, I have to put the books together for them. Anybody who would be willing to help me to produce these books for them, for the residents of these homeless shelters, I'd be willing to let you sit in on the seminar that I'm going to be giving on the weekend. Hold on, I think it's the 17th. Is that the Sunday? Let me just double check here. The 14th, yes, April 14th. Anybody who makes a donation to GoFundMe.com, Homeless Shelter Victims, that campaign, any donation that you make to help me get a book for the people who come to attend the class, you can attend as well on Zoom. Just go ahead and reach out to me at thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. It's very important for people to know that other people believe in them and they support them and they want to encourage them and facilitate their success. Because again, it's about our accountability to each other as humans. We have power. We can use our power in a good way or a bad way. There is no neutral energy. So we're going to talk about different things that people can do for each other and for themselves. If you have any questions or comments, you can go ahead and call into the station, 888-627-6008. Now we only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to be talking about the different activities that I'm going to be doing this coming week. One is a webinar. It's called The Toxicity of Entitlement. How many people believe they have a right to everything before they give anything? Well, you know what? Actually, that's another thing that surprised me as I was going out this week into the city of Everett talking to people. The younger generations and the older generations, there's a huge gap there. A lot of the older people are very resentful and judgmental, and they're bitter towards the younger people. And the younger people basically say, well, they're never going to want to listen to us. They're never going to give us credit. They're never going to give us an opportunity to show them. They've already determined in their minds who we are, and they don't really want to know the truth. Okay, entitlement is something that the older generations often used as a description of the younger generations. Well, they think they could just have everything. And I thought, no, you know what? Actually, it's the older generations that gave them everything and never taught them how to appreciate the value of work. What happens when people say, it's my right, it's my freedom? Well, you know what? That started a whole long time ago, a lot longer than these last few generations. Do you believe that you have a right? Or is it a privilege? Do you appreciate? Do you want your freedom to empower yourself or to empower others? Do a little personal inventory. Okay, well, the next thing I'm going to be doing this week is a support group, suspicious or disappointed. That's the sort of extension of what I've been asking people. Would you rather be suspicious of everybody in the very beginning and know that you're never going to get hurt and no one's ever going to take advantage of you? And you, or would you rather say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to give you credit for being a good person until you give me a reason not to. Because I'd rather be disappointed than suspicious. Having that good positive energy might actually encourage someone to be a high quality soul. Okay, so another thing, what I want to go ahead and offer as a suggestion, let me just go ahead and refresh something real quick. I think I might see some questions. I want to save the last few minutes at the end for questions. Okay, yeah, I got a couple of them here. So I'm gonna change. Here we go. Okay. So I have a few minutes left. Artificial intelligence in relationships. Okay, see, and I love it because this is again when we're talking about kind of the same theme that I'm broaching at this point. Middle-aged American men are settling for computer-generated relationships. Yes. Okay, why are American middle-aged men more interested in having a computer for a girlfriend? Okay, and now I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my daughter said. We were walking yesterday, and she's a sweetie. She's an NF. She's an intuitive feeler, and she actually just said, "Because women are bitches." And I said, okay, honey, not all women, right? But a lot of American women are just mean. They're angry people. And men know that they are having a relationship with something that's not real, but at least they're being appreciated by that thing, that computer. Someone smart, probably a man, has put in there what the man needs in the way of recognition, appreciation, respect, the trust. Yeah, and a man knows that if he's going to be with a woman, he's going to run a horrible risk of being judged and accused and attacked. And so, yeah, do they know? They know that it's better than nothing. You know what a lot of women do? Okay, I'll give you the example of what I was just talking with my husband about yesterday, is that people like dogs a lot. And where my husband comes from, dogs belong outside. Okay. They are not children. They are not mates. Okay. They are companions. Yes, they're fun. They're something that you spend time with, but you take care of them. You do not use them to fill the hole in your soul. A lot of women have animals because they know even if they're married, they're going to get better quality interaction from their pet than from their spouse. Okay. Yeah. So when we know that our options, well, they're kind of limited. Could you go out into a dating service? Yeah, you could. But how about this? How about you actually go into the world, right? You can go to a place that there's not a whole lot of public places with high traffic flow anymore, just because everybody does everything online now. So it's hard to find a high traffic flow place. You could go to a warehouse, right? We all know where people buy 50 rolls of toilet paper. You can go to a large traffic flow, a high traffic flow place, and just look at people and smile and see how many of them, first of all, make eye contact with you and how many of them smile back. Okay, so when we're talking about you putting good energy, get some good emotional energy, get yourself centered, stretch, stream of consciousness, figure out what you need. Reach out to the people in your life who can give you what you need, and then provide those things to other people and see how different your biochemistry is, how different your functionality is, how high quality the work you do is. And if you're doing high quality work, you don't have to do as high of a quantity of it. Then take a walk. One of the things that, again, I love to do with my daughter and now my son, and I tell him, honey, slow down. Okay, I understand you're 7,000 feet tall and your legs are 9 feet long. Okay, but I'm only 5'4" and I don't walk as fast as you. And he'll laugh and he'll hug me and he'll kiss me. And then we walk. Yeah. If you know that what you're doing is very high quality because you've taken time for yourself, then you can do better quality things. And a lower quantity, fewer amounts, right? Of those things. Yeah, that's going to be good for you and for the people around you. So, in summary, again, I just want to remind everybody that if you want to help me out, I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona on the 14th of April, giving a presentation at the library, at the Burton Barr Central Library in Phoenix, Arizona, for the homeless residents of CAS and the Human Services Campus. Anybody who wants to make a donation can go ahead and do it at GoFundMe.com, Homeless Shelter Victims Campaign. You'll see my picture there, Gabrielle Cardona. And if you really do understand yourself and appreciate the power that you have, ask yourself once in a while, how often do you take care of yourself? How often do you do things to make yourself high quality? Don't abuse your power. Make sure you're aware, you're mindful of the way you wield your power. Ask yourself who you believe you are accountable to, not responsible for, not even responsible to, accountable to. Some people call it a higher power. Some people call it God. Yeah, what do you call it? And do you believe that positive will always conquer the negative? You know what? Negative is very powerful energy. But the only reason why it usually succeeds in different situations is because people give up before they cross the finish line. If you believe that your positive energy is going to be more powerful than the negative energy around you, sustain it, maintain it, keep it going. And remember the principles, the two principles that I always say, when you have the conquering power, and with your positive energy, you are going to make people, you're going to call them out, show who they truly are. They are either going to be very attracted to you, they are going to want to be with you, they're going to want to learn with you and grow with you and synergize with you to become more powerful. Or they are going to be so angry and so frustrated with you and so irritated by your happiness that they're going to go away. You will repel people who are genuinely bad people, who are determined to be bad people. They're not going to want to be in your energy because your positive energy will neutralize their negative energy and it's going to make them look and feel stupid. They cannot succeed if you are being powerful in a good way. They're weak link of their negative attitude is going to wield them impotent. Thank you so much for listening to the Power of Synergy today on BBS Radio. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. The Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.